Welcome to
the Plant-Based Podcast.
In case you didn't know already, plants are amazing. You can
eat them,
wear them,
drink them,
nourish your skin with them,
grow them,
love them,
and be inspired by them. So why not join us on the Plant-Based Podcast as we speak to the movers, shakers, and growers in this amazing plant world.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
Okay, we're here for a very special episode with our podcast partner for Series 3, and that is Natural Grower, which is a vegan fertilizer which has taken the industry by storm. And we're here with Charlotte. Her and her husband Richard have set up Natural Grower, and their story is incredible. So we're going to tell that story, find out about the background, how Natural Grower came to be, and then talk a bit about the product and how you can use it on your own plants at home or on the allotment. So, welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hello. Yeah.
So, tell us where it all began. Take us right back. Were you in plants all your life, or what did you start off doing? Tell us all about you.
My parents were very good gardeners, and we had an amazing garden to grow up in, but I sort of missed that knowledge and gleaning that from them. And I went out into a career with horses, and then I was an IT director for a long time, so very far distance away.
Actually, no plants there.
No plants at all, no. And then I married a farmer, Richard, and on the farm there we grow various crops, but we diversified into having an anaerobic digester about 5 years ago. Because all farms now have to try and diversify in some form or another. And we grow maize on the farm that gets fed into the digester, and that produces electricity for the national grid. And then also a byproduct that comes out of it is the fertiliser.
Gosh.
So we've already had that on the farm as a diversification, and then we were looking at other ways that we can make use of products already on the farm. So the fertiliser is already used to grow the next crop of grain, maize, and we've had amazing results with the crops that we've used it on. So then we've used it in our garden for our vegetables and plants. The next step would be sharing that with everyone else and getting it out to garden centres.
So was it kind of like hard to develop then, or was it just a byproduct that was already there? What do we do with that?
It's there, it comes out. We feed the digester with maize and a bit of water. It's in there for about 40 days, being broken down by all the nice natural bacteria that's in there. That produces gas for the electricity, and then out of a pipe comes this nice thick sludge of
smelly fertilizer. I love it though. I love the smell. Like, the smell just says to me, this is so good for my plants and soil. So when you kind of started this new
venture.
Diversification, this new venture for you. Did you have to go through like a testing process? How did it work?
With the fertiliser? We have it regularly tested as part of the digestive process anyway, so we know if the plant is happy.
Yeah.
So we have the liquid regularly tested anyway. So we knew what the MPK values were, so we know what its value is for plants. And then we've obviously used it on the farm with success. We've used it in our garden. It's brilliant on grass, trees. So
that's in the liquid form.
Yeah, it's in the liquid form. And then there's the... Because it comes out of the thick sludge and we separate it.
Yeah.
So we have the liquid form, which is concentrate. And then we have the soil conditioner, which you dig into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So that then slowly releases the fertiliser.
Right.
Also helps with the soil structure and the worms work it in, and it's there long term. to improve your soil, or you can use it as a mulch on top if you want to, because it's a really good product for retaining moisture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we knew its value, we know it works, so it was just really a case of coming up with the brand and finding the right packaging and doing all of that, which mm-hmm. that's required more work than the actual product, because the product's there.
Well, I guess the product is natural, isn't it, at the end of the day, so it didn't need any engineering, any manipulation.
No.
It was there ready to go.
Yeah.
But I love what you've done with the product launch, because firstly, it's a beautiful design.
That is,
you know, the packaging, like very often you see these kind of very organic products or kind of like just kind of thrown together and looks very organic as well, but this is, it looks like a nice high quality product. It's beautiful.
We wanted something that would look completely different on the shelf,
and it does. It really stands out.
Because it is a different product, you know, there's no chemicals in it, it's fully traceable. It's approved by the Soil Association, Organic Farmers and Growers, and the Vegan Society, and you look
so
on
do
the
they
shelf,
have to come and test.
They come and they interview you. You provide all of their breakdown of information about how your process works, what you're putting in, and obviously it's got to meet their requirements and their needs. And,
Well, that's great for my allotment.
Exactly.
Because I grow veganically, so organic and veganic. There's no animal product at all. And to begin with, that was a slight problem, because mostly you mulch with your own garden compost. But when I took my allotment on, I didn't have any at that point because it was new, or a farmyard manure, which I won't use. So, you know, this is fantastic for that.
And I think a lot of people who are gardening, say, organically, but not necessarily veganically, they've been using horse manure, but a lot of people now are finding that the horse manures contain residual chemicals, which are then affecting sort of the beans, there's certain plants that affect the beans. So there's no guarantee as to what
you're actually growing in. I don't really know any of the science behind it, but I do sometimes think a lot of farm animals are given medications or whatever.
Horses are given worm.
But that's going to surely come out. I don't know if it dissolves or whatever. I don't really know. But just the thought of that being on my crops is not good for me. I don't see why we would want to digest it in any way. So having something that's certified vegan like that is really, really
good. And
really
that it is just, you know, amazing water.
Amazing. Are there any plants that it's particularly good for? I know you said the liquid fertiliser was good for the lawn, but is there anything else?
Or to be fair, everything that anyone's tried to grow with it has thrived on it. It's pH neutral, so I've used it to feed blueberries to test it from an acidic loving plant point of view. So if it's diluted with rainwater, it just makes it slightly acidic, and the blueberries have rocketed. So we haven't come across any plant so far that doesn't
have a great use.
I think because it's made from a plant, you know, all plants seem to...
They work together.
They do.
And will you be testing it against some of the leading chemical fertilisers? Because that would be a very interesting kind of result for the public to show that this is the better way to do stuff.
We had a lot of people on social media writing and doing updates on their plants growing with it. And we did have someone do a direct comparison with Tom Wright. And so we had all the lovely tomato plants in a very nice conservatory. And at the end of the process, put pictures of the tomatoes on and said, tell the difference, and you couldn't. So that was someone completely independent from us, just doing their own trial and comparing with Tom Wright. So I think it's tricky us doing the trials, because I don't know the general public necessarily trust us.
Yeah, you need an independent bureau to do it.
So it's been great. There's been a few people out there doing various trials, and there's some ongoing at the moment, comparing it with some other products out there.
So it's kind of, you could basically use it on anything. So even indoor plants as well, house plants?
Indoor plants, it can be a bit aromatic. So you could always feed your indoor plant, but just maybe leave it out in shelter for a couple of days and then
So that would be easy to do in the summer, wouldn't it?
Yes, keep the window open.
Perhaps give them the summer boost.
I can remember opening my first container. I was like, whoa!
This is what you get from something
so
natural.
Good. Yeah.
Because it's weird, because people don't like the smells of things, but that is natural.
Well, someone once said on social media, you know, when something smells that bad, it must be good. You know?
It's like nettle, you know, if you make your feet from nettles and stuff, it stinks. Yeah, or comfort, it stinks. It's like that's how it goes.
But that's weird. It's almost like, do you want to use a feed that's been made to smell nice? Like, why has it been made to smell nice?
There's something
in
it.
In there is very strange.
You don't really
it?
Want to put perfume on your plants, do you, at the end of the day? No. So, you know. And it can be applied directly, can't it? Or do you have to dilute it?
The liquid, you dilute it, a couple of capfuls in your watering can.
Yeah.
And then put it around the base of your plant.
Uh-huh. And what's been the most popular, the liquid form or the others?
To be fair, both have been popular. Some garden centres and online, you know, we sell a lot of one and then a lot of another. It's depending on what people are wanting to do and what they're growing. And both of them are proving to be popular.
Okay.
The soil conditioner is good for hanging baskets and pots and plants because it retains the moisture. So, you know, people with a smaller garden, they've maybe gone for that. And, yeah, there's...
Good for sandy soils, I expect, as well.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What about clay soils? Does it help?
Clay soil, it will help because the maize, the soil conditioner, it's quite coarse. So over time, the more you're working that in, it's going to help shape up that clay structure.
Amazing.
And are you using it at home? I imagine your garden is a lush paradise.
Our vegetable beds, They look great.
You probably can't get out the back door for all this growth.
Where can we actually buy the product from? So tell our listeners, you know, where to find you.
Well, you can buy our products online through our website, Natural Grower. Mm-hmm. But we're in various garden centres, which were all listed on our website. We're trying to get it stocked throughout the UK. We're going to be working with a distributor now to get it out into more centres. But it's really, we only launched a year ago, so it's very much we need people to go into their garden centres and ask for it, and then the garden centres will then stock it.
Demand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think social media helps with that, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Getting the message out there.
Definitely. Social media is incredibly important. It's sort of a new way of reaching everybody, really.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget, the containers are pretty enough that you can use them. So once you've used the mulch, you can actually just punch some holes in the bottom. You can actually use that.
I use the containers in my greenhouse this year for growing tomatoes.
Yeah, perfect.
You get some really holes in, and they're great. Yeah. Just keep reusing them.
Uh-huh.
But people are using them to store Lego in the house because they're an attractive design.
Yeah, pretty.
Pretty box. There's many ways you can use it.
Yeah.
Say you're going off down and buying a bucket from the hardware store, just reuse the natural fertilizer tub.
Well, we like it.
Yeah, we're very proud to have you as our podcast partner
for
Series 3.
We sure are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg.
Hey guys, and thanks for inviting me to the podcast. Ellen, it's been a pleasure bantering all things plants via Instagram. So next time you're in Charlotte and all this craziness calms down, I hope we can catch up in person. Again, I'm Allison. I'm a plant addict. Let's talk about garlic. Nothing turns me on more than a plant with multiple functions as well as a plant that is easy to grow. Now, garlic is divided into two categories. You got soft neck and hard neck. And who doesn't like a little hard neck? Whew. Okay, I swear, everywhere I have a prize plant, you will most likely see some garlic nearby. It's like a superhero in the gardening world, emitting its essential oils, which emits in the air and through the soil. It organically and naturally repels underground dwelling pests, such as voles, that love to eat those roots and tubers of plants, and all those rabbits and deer that love to devour plants down to the stubs. Now, this time in the Carolinas, for our zone 7 and 8 gardens, the garlic scapes are in season. Those scapes, they taste like garlic, have all the nutrients like garlic, and it's another reason I love the hard neck over the soft neck, because I get two versions of a harvest from one plant. That's the beauty about the plant. You plant the clove in the fall time, you harvest the scapes in the spring, which is that twirly stem that grows that flower bud. And then by taking off the scape, you redirect the plant's energy to thickening up the bulb, which is then harvested in the summer. Really, the only maintenance is the occasional weeding. It's a win-win in my book. So wishing you guys a great day, and thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Sarah from Hawkwell Herbs. Remember that when you're taking the tips off your herbs to make them bushy underneath, those tippings, as we call them, are not to go on the compost heap. They're food, they're ingredients, so use them in your cooking. Also, if you can, use peat-free compost. I do.
Hi, this is Piers Warren. My tip of the day is successional sowing. When you get your packets of seeds, it might be tempting to sow lots of them all at once, but with a lot of them like lettuces and carrots and radishes, it's a good idea to spread them over several months, just sowing a few every 2 weeks or so. An extreme form of this is broad beans, and what I often do is I sow some in kind of October, November time at the end of the year, and they can overwinter in a cold frame or a greenhouse or something like that, and they'll give you an early crop around May time, and then others you can sow from February, March, April, and they will crop later into June, even July. So although many people tend to think of broad beans as coming only at one small part of the year, with this successional sowing, you can spread them out over a number of months.
Hello, plant-based podcast listeners. I'm Caitlin from the Instagram account at In A Tiny Garden, and I've got two organic growing tips on feeding and pests to start you off. Feeding the soil organically is one of the best things you can do. I mulch in autumn with a thick layer of compost and well-rotted manure the no-dig way, and for me, that's it for feeding at the allotment for the rest of the year. I do this in the tiny garden as well, but I've crammed a lot of different plants into a 5x4 meter space, so I do occasionally give some an organic seaweed feed as well. Most plants in pots, however, do need feeding directly, and again, I use a liquid seaweed, unless they need something very specific like ericaceous feed for my potted blueberries. For organic pest control, the healthy soil for strong plants helps here too, but I also try to grow as many different types of flowering plants as possible for a healthy ecosystem which encourages the pest predators. That being said, if a certain pest still overwhelms your crop, like my own aphid outbreak right now, and the ladybirds can't keep up, I squish them off by hand, rinsing the rest. This is an organic way that doesn't involve chemical pesticides or risks our all-important beneficial insects like bees, hoverflies, or ladybird larvae in the process. Thank you so much for having me on to give a couple tips on such an important topic.
Hi, this is Lottie over at Growing a Lottie. One of the first things that jumps out to my mind when it comes to organic gardening is pests. I think as gardeners it's easy to forget that they are important components of our ecosystem. And so my top tip to manage this naturally is a cultural one. So my kids love putting fat balls out for the birds. This encourages blue tits into the garden, and the blue tits will then feed on your aphids. So that's obviously one way. There are many ways that you can culturally control pests in your garden and prevent them. I guess thinking of plants in the same way you would your own health, and prevention is better than cure. So I hope that helps.
Babe.
All right, babe. I like the fact that on the video I can see two leaves of lemon balm.
Actually, that is mint.
it's like right, yeah, it's kind of right in the screen, like in front of you.
I made it so it looks like a little frame for you.
It does, it looks like an Instagram.
Look, there's
like
a fuchsia.
It looks like an Insta filter. That's so cute.
Take a picture of it, Ellen. It's a ballerina. It's a very special moment.
I don't know if I can while you're on record. Will it not come off record? Oh, I don't know.
You might screw it up, but who knows?
Who knows if I do? There you go. Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah. Okay, cool. Right, are we going to talk sense at some point?
It's on record.
Do you think... You know, I know it's on record. You know we record these things.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like going along, we're like thinking, oh my God, we're so funny. I wonder if people really do think it's funny.
I doubt it. I think you've got...
Sorry.
You've got to be in the conversation to think it's funny sometimes, probably.
I know, honestly. Because last week, when obviously we get the edit sent through and we then need to listen to it. And I often like just speed listen just so I know all the kind of transition bits are fine. I then get caught out and then I'm like, did you hear this bit? I'm like, no. What? Yeah, no. But I did. I was driving along and I was listening to our gossip and I was like making myself laugh. it felt a bit twisted and weird. I was like, oh, Michael, you're really funny.
It's good that you think you're funny, Michael.
It felt great and strange all at the same time.
It really did make me laugh when you did get caught out last week. I was like, what, you haven't listened to that bit? I thought you listened to all of the podcasts.
I listened to the beginning and the end of your bit. That's enough. I can't listen to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I'm trying to find this post because... we wanted to look at store cupboard secrets this week, didn't we?
We did. So we asked people for their hacks, basically. Store cupboard hacks.
We did. Shall I read through some on Facebook?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. And like, then we'll say if we tried them, if we think they're crazy or what or not. So
yeah.
I actually might start to test some of these things. Let's see what we've got. Derek Anderson Jones. I sprinkle I sprinkle chili powder over my newly germinated seeds and in my bird feeders to prevent rodents from eating them. Works very well, and birds still enjoy the feeders as they aren't affected by capsaicin.
Will the birds not eat the chili? I don't know.
If they're Mexican.
I don't know if the birds would eat the chili or not. Okay.
Okay, let's move on from that one. Tess Willis, I've used diluted washing up liquid on all the green fire I've got this year. Kind of working, but not sure if it's spoiling the roses. Also, eggshells for slugs. That's not working. Ooh. Well, I've often said to people, use soapy water, and I've used it myself, and it does work, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've used it.
A little bit better than you. Well... better than using chemical, but it is a chemical in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, surely. It's funny because a lot of the time when we talk about organic gardening, we're still actually using chemicals. It's just not the chemicals that kill off everything else.
But soap, everyone loves soap.
It's not, I don't think it's going to harm like pollinators and stuff, and that's sort of key. But usually just a good blast with the water is enough without the washing up.
Yeah,
but
I think if anything, just to knock them off the plant is enough. Yeah. She also said about eggshells for slugs. There was research from the RHS a few years ago that proved that I think the only thing that really worked was copper strips, wasn't it?
So that's interesting. Yeah. In my old house, and I was gardening in pots, I would put copper tape, if only everyone could see you right now, Michael. I would put copper tape around the pots. And it did help. It didn't 100% help, but it did make a difference. But I think the best way to keep slugs off is obviously to create biodiversity. So you want their predators there to eat them.
Exactly.
And like have this wonderful, lovely ecosystem in your garden that's full of biodiversity. But there is the garlic rinse that's meant to be really good. So it's like you can find it online. I haven't used it, but you use garlic and
that's
water.
That's for slugs, is it?
I think it keeps so many pests away, basically. Lots of people use it around their hostas because obviously snails and slugs love hostas. So this garlic solution is meant to be really, really good for that. But yeah, the copper tape has worked for me. It doesn't last all summer, so you might have to replace it. But ultimately, the key is to have a really biodiverse garden.
Okay, yeah, good idea. More hedgehogs, more birds, all the ones that feed on the slugs.
Yeah, toads and things, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, Amanda Williams, who has a top fan badge,
woo,
says, I put tea bags and coffee and cinnamon in my beds to keep cats out of them. there's a comment by Susan Hughes. Does that really work, Amanda? Because we're fed up of cats coming into our garden and constantly fouling. I love that word, fouling. We've tried all sorts of things and willing to give that a go. This is 7 hours ago. Amanda hasn't replied yet. But yeah, cinnamon will, I'm sure that is almost like pepper, because a lot of people put pepper on their plants to keep cats away as well, don't they?
Yeah. And was it?
I don't know if tea bags and coffee would keep cats away.
I've never heard of tea bags and coffee. The one that I've tried, and I know lots of people try, is the citrus peel, so your oranges and lemons and stuff.
That
can work. I mean, it doesn't work. I guess it depends on the cat, like humans. Do they like it?
Yeah, I wonder if Amanda's making a mixture with the tea, the coffee and the cinnamon, or putting them on separately, or because too much coffee is going to start to make the soil acidic potentially as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to set up in my new garden.
Did everyone hear that? You heard that here. You heard that here first. Michael's got a garden. Whoop, whoop.
I do have a garden, but that's all I want to say right now.
Okay.
Anyway, in my new garden, I might set up a Willy Wonka chocolate. I don't know, Nutty Professor. That's the word. Oh, can we cut all that out, please? I might set up a Nutty Professor lab to kind of like test some of these theories and see if they really work.
That's what we do basically the whole time. We test it all the whole time and see what works.
But that could be a big old plant-based podcast initiative. We could debunk all of those housewife myths.
Oh, there's a lot of myths. I actually read something on Twitter earlier on where someone was saying that if you don't have rooting hormone, then you could drop aspirin into water. And that's...
Well, that's what I'm about to read out.
No. What? Really? Hey, we should tell everyone that we are twins, because we often say or do the same thing at a distance. It's so weird. That's really weird.
It's Jeannie Marshall.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah, but aspirin also for cut flowers as well.
Yeah, but someone was saying to put aspirin into water to use as rooting hormone, and this is like widely known and thought that it's really good, but actually the compounds in aspirin, there's nothing that would help anyway, so it's not actually a rooting hormone whatsoever. So it depends on what you read and whether it's worked for you. And you know, a lot of the things you take cuttings from will root anyway without rooting hormone. So people who've used aspirin say, oh yeah, it's the aspirin that's worked, but actually it would have rooted anyway.
I've got to say, Ellen, it sounds like a dirty little placebo. Tatty Lindley, top name, also a top fan. My mum swears by diluted washing up liquid to get rid of aphids. And Tatty has spelt mum with an M-O-M. So she's from US, you might know her. Right, Denise Becker, throw your unwanted banana skins at the foot of your husband. At the base of your roses to give them a potassium boost.
That's a natural pest control. Throw your banana skins at the feet of your husband.
Patricia Tennant has said, what's a good weed killer to use amongst my flowers? She's not understood how this poster's working. Right, next. this is a cool one. Frank Barry Ronaldo Shimmons. Cool name, jeez. To get rid of weeds between interlocking pavers, spray the weeds with pickling vinegar. Pickling vinegar is more acidic than regular vinegar, kills the weeds and is safe for the environment.
Oh,
interessante. Shall I carry on?
Sure.
Yeah. My favorite Sarah Jane, my favorite pest control is my ducks. A lot of people say I should use eggshells to deter slugs and snails, but I save them for my pet giant African land sow, so it's a great source of calcium for shell building. What? She feeds the snails to other snails. I don't know if I understand that.
She'll feed the snails to her duck because it helps to produce calcium that helps the eggshells form, and then the duck will lay the eggs.
Because
eggshells are calcium, aren't they?
No, but then she's saying the giant African land snails eat the shells. Oh, no, they're the they're the eggshells. I thought they were eating the snail shells, which I thought was then cannibalism.
Oh, I'm so confused what's going on here.
I don't know. There
Please
was a
move
lot
on.
Of moral problems for me there.
Yeah.
Right. Right, okay, well, this is actually a question, and Ellen Mary, you can answer this live on the podcast. You can pretend we're gardeners question time, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, go for it.
I need a kind of, what's his name, Eric Robson voice. Oh, no, he doesn't do it anymore, does he? I think there's a girl now. Anyway, I'll try and make it sound official.
Okay.
Okay, so Pauline Singleton from Crewe says, thanks for all the great tips. A question for you guys, please, on the panel. I'm leaving my daffodils and tulips in their pots. Are they safe until next spring? They're behind my shed uncovered, or should I put them in the shed?
Oh, that's so
good. Could
we
give Pauline a bit of bulb advice?
Absolutely.
Please?
Give
Mary,
the pot a mulch.
Gardener.
Give the pot a mulch. Leave them outside. Totally. Just make sure they're sheltered. And yeah, they'll be good for sure. I don't bring mine in ever.
No. I wouldn't bring any bulb in unless it was something that was like not fully hardy, like I don't know, Ismini or something.
Yeah, no, daffodils, tulips, all of that, they're completely fine. I know lots of people lift their tulips. I know lots of people lift the tulip bulbs, clean them off, store them and or get rid of them and replace them, whatever, but I don't do that.
Yeah.
And they tend to have about 3 or 4 years life in them before I have to change them over.
Mm.
But they always stay outside in the pot or in the ground.
I would never lift them at all.
I'd give the pot
a
good mulch.
Sometimes with the modern tulips is they don't flower more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're screwed anyway.
And if you use them as cut flowers as well, obviously you're cutting the flower off, so they're not really going to produce flower the following year, so then you'd want to replace the bulbs anyway. But if you're not, then yeah, I'd leave them outside for a couple of years and then perhaps replace them.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Nicola Lockwood has a tip. Thyme tea. Cover a big handful of thyme with boiling water and then strain when cool. Oh, I thought this was going to be for plants, but it's for the body. You can soothe acne, cuts, grazes, eczema and light burns. Small instant relief for small skin complaints. Been using it for years. When I was a crazy teenager, I used to make thyme tea, but not to use for those. I used to use it for sore throats as a gargle. And it's really good because it's kind of like natural antiseptic.
Yeah.
But I never thought of dipping cuts in thyme tea. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many natural remedies out there for skin and for body. You always have to do a little test first just to make sure you're not going to have a reaction to it. And really, I mean, that's like a tonic, isn't it, really, if you're putting it on your skin. Obviously, make sure it's cool and just do a little skin test first. That's all. But yeah, I mean, there's so many natural herbs are just amazing. Like, there's just so much. I think there's so much more we've not even found out yet.
Defo. Lisa Jane Squibb. A third of white wine vinegar topped up with water in a spray bottle kills off plant flies. So that's a different choice to soapy water.
Yeah.
Would that be better for the environment than soapy water?
I don't know. Do you know what? It's really difficult with the kind of home remedies because there's so many, there's a lot of research and then there's a lot of gardeners, you know, who've given it a go and they say that it definitely works. But then you'll read the next thing and the next thing is like, actually, it's really bad for the environment or it's not very beneficial for such and such an insect. So it's a difficult one, and I did read one not so long ago saying that vinegar wasn't as good as we think it is. So it's such a difficult balance to get. And when it comes to kind of home remedies, we've just got so much more research to do, you know?
Oh, definitely. This next one you might like, and I think this is something that Bananarama used to do with their dancers in the 80s. Andrew Fisher-Tomlin, who's a rascal anyway, says, buff up the bark of Prunus cerula with olive oil.
Oh, so it's nice and shiny.
Yeah.
Wow, with olive oil, huh? Very cool.
Think about that reference to Bananarama.
However, I'm just
Ellen
thinking,
Mary.
Like, will it then be all oily? Like, what? Will insects be able to get up it?
It doesn't matter though, do it? There's a bloody snake on TV that's just bitten someone's arm.
Ah? Ooh.
Oh my god, I'm watching US Gogglebox.
Oh, do you know we do have massive snakes out here? Yeah, we do have huge snakes here. There's the copperhead, which is literally, it can be fatal if you get bitten.
Flapping
you
neck.
Do not want to be near a copperhead, that is
for
sure.
Oh my god, I hate snakes.
Yeah, I don't. I've had a few encounters. One when I was in Georgia a couple of months ago, and I went walked down to a river. And I was just on the edge of the river, and it was literally, literally touching my foot. And I have never, ever ran, and I'd done a proper girl scream, and ran. And now my heart was literally beating. And then when I calmed down, I went back to see if it was still there, because I wanted a photo.
Oh my god, how big was it?
It was really big, and it went down into the water, so I didn't see it again, but it was big. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I was walking in a state park along one of the trails, and one literally just slithered across the path right in front of us. And yeah, I mean, that wasn't a poisonous one. It was just, I can't remember its name now. But yeah,
they
there are a few poisonous.
I think it's anything without legs freaks me out. Like, I'm the same with worms. Like, I would never put an earthworm in my fingers, in my hands.
Oh, but they're amazing earthworms, and they can't do you any harm, and they're brilliant for the soil.
We need them. It's just this shape just freaks me out. Something that hasn't got legs. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, my God. This is a cool one. Cheryl Knapp, back on the subject in hand,
yes,
says ground cinnamon sprinkled over the soil of houseplants can deter fungus gnats.
Oh,
that would be a cool thing to work, because that can be a problem. I've started growing a few houseplants, and it's like you see some stuff start to get these little gnats.
Yeah.
It's sometimes where they're a little bit too wet, but it's difficult to regulate that. And
it is.
And they're more of a nightmare in the winter as well, aren't they?
Actually, to be fair, I find that they're just as bad in dry soil. Once you've got them, you've got them. Dry or wet soil. Yeah, I've got some here. We've got some here in the plants in the apartment. So that's a really good tip. I'm going to give that a go.
Yeah, try that.
Mm.
I've also heard of, when you're repotting plants, to put cinnamon on the roots, because that's a good kind of antibacterial.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. We'll give it a go. Oh, bless
darling.
You.
Oh, sorry.
You've messed your hair up doing that. Yeah.
Right, okay, so another one about vinegar from Denise Lacey. This is a cool one from Fiona Hall. I've put wool around my posts, and so far the slugs and snails haven't got near to my plants.
Okay, sure. They won't they won't like slithering over that, I guess, will they?
I wonder if she means pots, actually.
Around
like wool around the pots. Yeah. That could be quite a cool thing to do. Epsom salt to acidify the soil, says Una Bird.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool. Any more? Salt poured into the centre of tap-rooted weeds to rot them out, from Leslie Palmer. And then Beverly Griggs is our final tip, which says, the bin is usually my cure.
Oh.
Well, do you know what? If a plant really isn't going to survive, I would put it in the bin.
Do you think she means the plant or the slugs?
I don't know. Oh, cool. Oh, it's nice to have a few of those different tips. And it would be nice to set up a little kind of wacky professor lab and test some of these things out once and for all.
Well, that's what you can do. It can be a scientific research project in your new garden and see what doesn't work.
I know. Oh my god, Melon. I don't know what to do. I'm getting a garden. Oh my god.
Yeah. How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know. Maybe 2? No, 10. Yeah, it's just I haven't had a garden or outdoor space for so long. Oh, I don't want to talk about it too much because it might make you jealous.
It won't make me jealous. I have my allotment. I've had gardens for so many years, I can cope without a garden for a year or two.
Cool.
I can handle it. I've still got the allotment.
Yeah, I mean, but my problem is, first of all, I'm so indecisive, so it's hard to then decide on, pieces of decor, blah, blah, blah. But also, I got such a short attention span. I'm like, part of that indecisive thing, I'll then take ages to decide that I want something like this, and then I'll be like changing my mind about it. It's like I don't know, I want to make it a cottage garden, then I want to rip it all out and make it a tropical
garden. But that's the fun of gardens. You know, why can't you have a mashup? Like, I've seen some amazing cottage garden, like herbaceous borders, that also have banana plants in. And, you know, you can do whatever you want. Like, why does it have to be a cottage garden or a tropical garden?
Yeah, you're
why
right.
Why can't it be a mashup of what you like? Because that's really like your personality, you know?
Oh, definitely. But really nice kind of prototype for that would be the exotic garden at Wisley.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how nicely beautiful. That was, like, exotic and cottage garden kind of blend?
Totally beautiful.
As well, so, yeah. But I'm trying to find a sun lounger that reclines and is modern looking.
I'm on board already with this.
And that's hard enough in itself, Ellen Mary. And don't tell me to look on Habitat because it's not there.
You can look
I don't know if, like, can I cope with a sun lounger that doesn't recline?
No. Absolutely.
You just can't, can you?
No. Have a look on made.com. That's quite cool.
Yeah, but sweetheart, it's 16-week delivery.
Well, like, we're in lockdown, so anything's going to be longer now.
Yeah, I know, but 16 weeks, there won't be any sun left. I don't want to be ungrateful.
And get your towel out.
Some really cool retro ones, actually, on Etsy.
Okay, you know, cool.
Like, almost like 60s style.
Cool. I think your garden has to be a reflection of your personality and the things that you like, and you don't have to play by the rules, you know.
But I might just buy a picnic blanket.
Well, that will do for now. Then wait your 16 weeks and you'll have it for next year.
I don't know why, Ellen. Think about all the things that I need, right, for a house and a garden. Am I just fixated on the sun lounger?
I know.
I'd just be like, you know, I set it up in the living room. That's all I'll sit on because I'm so obsessed with this bloody
You haven't got a sofa, but you have got a sun lounger.
I know. But, you know, yeah, so I'm fixated on that only, really, at the moment. So,
carry on being fixated on whatever you want.
Can you still hear the birds?
Yeah, I love chatting to you because I can hear the birds in the background.
Why do they do it at this time of day?
What are you clicking there in your fingers, though? Because that's really loud.
Oh, sorry, just my AirPods case.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Thanks so much for chatting. I'm going now.
Oh, I'm sorry. You came here, you got the birds, and now you're off.
Correct.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Naturally rich in nitrogen, potash, phosphate, and other trace elements that plants and vegetables love, it is approved by the Soil Association, Vegan Society, and Organic Farmers and Growers. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
Thanks for listening. You should now be at least 25% more obsessed by plants.
Please follow us on social media. You'll find us by typing in the Plant-Based Podcast.
We also have a fabulous website. Go to theplantbasedpodcast.net.
So tell your friends, leave a review. Why not write a letter to your local MP? Please spread the word about the Plant-Based Podcast.
Oh yes, see you next time, plant friends. The theme music for the Plant-Based Podcast is an excerpt from the song Grow by Mikey James. And our editing is done by Gareth Patch of Semi-Echo.